Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever given someone a crystal clear explanation that they just couldn't understand? Is didn't know what you were trying to explain. Or maybe you've been on the opposite end, right? Somebody is trying to explain something to you in clear words, and yet you just can't comprehend the words that are coming out of their mouth. You know, maybe you don't have the prerequisites. Maybe they're using some fancy language that you just don't understand. Or maybe they're speaking in plain language and you just don't get it anyway. Well, in our text for today, Jesus has a similar situation. He has a secret conversation under the cover of night with a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus doesn't understand what God is saying, what Jesus here is saying. In fact, Nicodemus cannot understand. He cannot comprehend because he does not have the prerequisite to take this night class with Jesus. He doesn't have faith. Faith. Faith is what Nicodemus is missing. And because he is missing this faith, he cannot discern Jesus' words. And so he has all sorts of misconceptions. Now, Nicodemus would have had a large knowledge of Old Testament scriptures. He's a Pharisee, after all. He's very, very well learned. In fact, he is an expert in the Old Testament scriptures. You see, it's not as if Nicodemus is stupid or ignorant or somehow too immature to understand the words that Jesus is actually having pass over his lips. Nicodemus can hear the words and comprehend them just fine. The only problem is he doesn't have faith. And so he can't quite understand. He doesn't yet believe. Now, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit blows where it wishes. And the truth is that Nicodemus had not yet received that Holy Spirit. By no fault of the Holy Spirit, of course, for the Holy Spirit was certainly blowing near Nicodemus. After all, he is hearing from the very words of Jesus himself. See, Nicodemus realized that Jesus was a great teacher, maybe even a prophet. And so as the Holy Spirit comes out of Jesus' mouth, as it's literally blowing in Nicodemus' face at 100 miles an hour, Nicodemus still refuses to believe. He sees teacher, he sees prophet, but he falls short. He does not see Jesus for who he actually is, the Son of God. In fact, God himself, the promised Messiah who came to save the world from their sin. He recognizes the greatness of Jesus, but just not in its fullness. He recognizes that Jesus comes from God. He just doesn't recognize that Jesus is God. And really, how can we blame Nicodemus? He was taught wrong. Nicodemus was taught wrong. That's just the truth of it. He's taught that when the Messiah comes, he's going to solve all the worldly problems, at least for the people of Israel. Right, no more Roman occupation, no more sort of fighting. You know, it's going to be this glorious golden age for the people of Israel, for those who are descended from Abraham. The Messiah is going to come with great earthly power. He was taught the Messiah was going to sound and look a certain way, and it's certainly not the way that Jesus sounds and looks. And so Jesus sets the record straight. He tells Nicodemus that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and that he must be lifted up on a cross to die. Talk about shattering your expectations. This is not the Savior, not the Messiah that Nicodemus expected. Now, he thought he had everything figured out. Nicodemus thought he knew it all, right? A faithful Pharisee, a vast knowledge of Scripture, you know, sort of the leader of the Jews. He even recognized Jesus' authority. He thought he had this whole Jewish sort of faithful to God religion all set. He thought he was doing it right. But Jesus shows him how much he just doesn't get it. Which brings us to you. Do you think you have this Christianity thing all figured out? Now, I'm not talking about things such as the Trinity, where we have, you know, three persons and one God that are co-equal and co, you know, all the same but yet distinct, and how this whole thing works. I'm not talking about, you know, what happens in the Lord's Supper, where somehow you just combine words and bread and wine, and it becomes the blood and body of Jesus. We have no concept of how these things work. These are divine mysteries that our human understanding will never grasp. But do you think you have Christianity all figured out? Maybe you're regular in church attendance. Maybe you go home and you read your Bible. Maybe you pray every day. Maybe you go out of your way to serve your neighbor. Maybe you volunteer your time for the church. Maybe you're intentional, that you sort of look for opportunities to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Maybe you even wake up in the morning with the sign of the cross and you sort of set your mind to follow God's word as closely as you possibly can, to sort of live within the Ten Commandments. Well, as sinners, you and I have the tendency to convince ourselves that if we do good things, that we've done good enough. Well, at least I tried to be a good person today, and that's good enough. Or I went to church once or twice this month, and that's good enough. I've heard all the stories that are in the Bible, and so, you know, that's good enough. I don't have to open my Bible again to read them anew. Or, you know, I know I'm going to be forgiven on Sunday, so I could probably just go ahead and commit this one little sin. Because on Sunday morning, it'll be good enough to have Jesus forgive me. It's a wonderful thing to be a believer of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a good person. It's a wonderful thing to read your Bible and to pray and even to set your mind to follow the Ten Commandments. But in our text for today, Jesus tells us, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." What it means is, it means you are not good enough, nor will you ever be. You don't understand. You just don't understand. Every time you think that you've done what a Christian ought to do, you're wrong. You've been taught wrong. You see, so often in our lives, what we try to do is we try to lift ourselves up into heaven. We convince ourselves that because we go to church, or because we pray, or because we open our Bible, or because we know all the stories, that somehow that merits us eternal life, that somehow this makes me a good enough person to go to heaven. It's this idea that you are good enough, and it's a sad attempt to bring yourself into the heavenly kingdom by your own goodness. Jesus didn't come as the very word of God itself so that you could be good enough. He didn't come so that you could be misinformed about who he is, about who you are. Because the truth is that you will never, ever, ever be good enough. No matter how much praying, no matter how perfect your church attendance is, no matter how many people you serve, you will never be a good enough Christian. And that doesn't mean to stop trying. It doesn't mean that you ought to just sort of throw in the towel and give up with the whole thing. What it means is that you need to get over what you think you know about Christianity, and instead just hear what Jesus is saying. Especially here in John chapter 3, because the Holy Spirit is literally gusting in your face at 100 miles per hour through Jesus' words here. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The only one who can ascend into heaven, the only one who is worthy to be part of that realm, is the Son of Man. And so what does Jesus do? But he descends to this earth. He lives a perfect life, and then he is ascended above the earth on a cross. He is lifted up, and he is crucified, and he is bloody, and he is broken for you. The only one who has been good enough dies for you, so that you can be forgiven. You see, being a saved person being a Christian, has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus. His blood, his death, his resurrection. This is exactly what Nicodemus didn't understand in our text, and I'm willing to bet it's exactly what you don't understand either. So often we think that we have to accomplish something for our salvation. Nicodemus, he goes to Jesus trying to hear a word from God. What must we do to be saved, Jesus? Jesus says, be born again. Well, Nicodemus scratches his head. Well, how can I enter my mother's womb a second time? You miss the point. It's not about what you need to do. It's about what Jesus does for you. The truth is that Jesus isn't asking you to do anything for him because he doesn't need you. But the truth is that for you and I, for the Christian, we need Jesus desperately, more than we ever know. And so Jesus does the one thing that he knows will give us eternal life. The one thing that will give us a place in heaven. He dies for you. He rises for you. He baptizes you with water that you might be welcomed into that community. Those who believe in his death and resurrection. Those who are connected to him, to what he has done for you. He is the very word of God that is put into your ears that you receive and believe in him. Jesus is the one who feeds you with his body and blood. Jesus is the one, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He is the one who does the doing. He is the one who drives the verbs. He is the one who acts on your behalf. And he is the one who says, yes, you're right. You're not good enough. But your sins are forgiven. The truth is that this sermon, this little section of God's word here, has a very clear message for you. It's that Christianity isn't about you. Christianity is for you. It's not about you understanding. It's about receiving God's word and believing. It's not about what you do, but it's about what Jesus has done for you through his word, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your understanding in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.